You would turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, and I want to read, start chapter 16 first. We're going to start from verse 29. Chapter 16. Starting at verse 16 and 29. 1 Kings. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. It came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went to and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Drop down to chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.
My Lord.
Now turn over to 1 Kings chapter 18.
All right.
And we'll start at verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. I'm going to stop right there.
My God. Great.
So we're going to look from this passage of scripture, three things that we want you to get out of this. Look for it. Look again. Don't be discouraged by what you see. Look for it, look again. Don't be discouraged by what you see. Title for this message would be, your blessing is on the way.
Thank you, Lord. That's good to know.
Your blessing is on the way. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Father, we glorify you, and we thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, God. Now we pray that you will have your way, do what you do best, God, and decrease me, you increase, that your word might go forth. Prepare the hearts and the minds of your people for this word, Father, and you just go ahead and do your thing in me. And thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Your blessing is on the way. This message today is for all the people who have been going through some things in their lives. Been going through something, and this message is for you. And I want to say to you that I tried all kinds of ways to try to figure out how God wanted me to come with his word, but the first thing that he gave me was, your blessing is on the way. And so I believe that's a word from the Lord for this house, hallelujah, on the day. I believe it's a word from the Lord. Glory to his name. So these people have waited for 3 years for rain. And they understood that in Deuteronomy 28 and 12, where it says that, you know, God will give you rain for your fields. He'll bless you. Understanding that blessings, rain is a blessing from God.
Well, yes, it is.
They waited. But the problem here for their waiting on the rain was their king, Ahab. The scripture lets us know, that the scripture that we read earlier in your hearing about Ahab, the Bible says that as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Jeroboam was the first king after the split of the kingdoms that God used to rule over Israel. And God told Jeremiah, he said to Jeremiah, you know, listen, I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with you, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Now, this was the promise that God had given Jeroboam. But Jeroboam made a decision.
Watch it.
That when he became king, he would start God's people, the Israelites, to worshiping idols. Because Jeroboam, you know, sometimes when God makes you king or God makes you a leader, you have to understand that you have issues that you need to deal with. And so if you're going to be a leader and you ain't ready to let go or to deal with the issues, then you need to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want this assignment, because let me tell you, your issues will get you in trouble. Jeroboam had issues. Jeroboam was the kind of person who, when God gave him, he told him he would bless him, he would be with him. He gave him all these promises and told him all he had to do was to what did he say? To hearken unto my commandments. He said, just listen to me. Just hearken unto my ways, and I'm going to make you an house. I'm going to bless you. And sometimes it's so hard for us to just hearken unto God's ways. When Jeroboam became king, instead of him knowing that he was king and not having to worry about the people, he got the people, and then he went and he took the people, instead of allowing the people to go back down to Jerusalem to worship the God that they know that is God in their lives, he started making idols in Dan, which was so much further away, so that the people can go away from Jerusalem. Dan and Bethel, so that the people could go away from Jerusalem, because he thought that once the people went down to Jerusalem, they would go back. They would go to the king of Judah instead of the king of Israel. So he felt like he might lose his people. He had insecurity. He had issues. And how many of us know that God's word overrules all of that stuff? If we trust God, we don't have to worry about God's people because they're God's people in the first place. And he had issues, and so he decides that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep them from going down to Jerusalem. I'm going to stop them from going to Jerusalem. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make some idols so that they'll worship these idols. And I'm going to make it look like Jerusalem so the people will come to Dan and Bethel to worship these gods. And so he, you know, got to a place where he had God's people, the Israelites, worshiping other gods. And so that's when the scripture was saying that when Ahab, he started walking after the sins of Jeroboam. He walked after the sins of Jeroboam, and after Jeroboam did it, other kings did it. And not only did other kings do it, Ahab's father did it. And how many of us know that we ain't got to do what our daddies did and our uncles and our fathers? We don't have to, we can stop stuff. We don't have to do what everybody else is doing. We don't have to do what the crowd has done. We don't have to go with my daddy used to do it, and so my uncles did it, and then my uncle's friends did it. And so this is all us. This is what we do in our lives. And how many of us understand that God would have us to do what he has called us to do in spite of what your background is, in spite of who you know, in spite of how life has been for you? God can change that thing. You don't have to be like everybody else.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Many of us are afraid to dare to be different. We're afraid to step out and just allow God to use us and do what he does best in us. We're afraid, and so we fall back right into the ways of our foreparents and the ways of our forefathers. We fall right back into that. I don't know what your bond, your strongholds are in your family. Whatever your strongholds are, because we all have some. Some of our families, we have a pattern of this and a pattern of that and a pattern of this. And then when it comes down, when it gets to you, God says when it gets to you, this curse, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop this curse. Many of us have curses on our families, and things have been going on for years and years and years and years. And we accept it. We go to get to a place in our lives and we say, oh God, you know, I know this has to be happening for me because, you know, it happened to my mama, and it happened to my mama's mama, and it happened to my mama's mama's mama. And so I know that, you know, it was going to happen, it was bound to happen to me. And God is saying, oh, that's not so. Sometimes you have to get to a place when you think and when you know God and you know what he has said to you, when you understand what he said, you got to make a stand and you got to say the book stops here, baby. It ain't happening here. I know what happened in my past and with my people in the past, but I refuse to let it happen to me and my children. It stops here and it stops here now. You got to be ready to stop this thing. Too many of us are laying down and just allowing the enemy to just take over. Allowing him to do what he wants to do in your life. And just letting stuff just go on and on and on and on and on. When God has shown us that he's given us power to be able to stop that thing. You be the one that can stop it. You be the one that will allow God to work through you. You be the one to change what the enemy is trying to do. But God says, I have given you the power to be able to do these things. So then the Bible goes on and says that he took Ahab, he took a wife, Jezebel. She's the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal. Now, Jezebel was a mean woman. Jezebel served Baal. Baal was a small g god. Amen. Who They looked at as being the God of the rain.
Come on.
God of abundance.
Watch it now.
Oh, he was supposed to be the God the rain and abundance and the God who can do so many things for these people. And these people worshiped him. And instead, Ahab married Jezebel. Now, he serves the God of Israel. He serves the Almighty God, the all-knowing, all-seeing. He serves the everlasting Father. He serves the one and true and living God. He marries Jezebel, who worships Baal, who they think is the God of the rain, who they think is the God of abundance. And then not only that, he was serving some other god that, you know, and he made groves, and he served a wooden stick of a god called Ashereth, and that was a god of like a prostitute. And so you can only imagine the stuff that they were getting into. The Bible says that Ahab went and served Baal. Wait, what do you mean by served Baal? He worked for him. He recruited for him. He started recruiting for Baal. And whatever Baal wanted, Baal got from Ahab. And it says he worshipped him. He bowed down. He bowed down to Baal. And then it says, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. So he built a house for Baal. He reared up an altar for Baal. And all these things he knew that God was against, because God said, thou shalt not put another God before me.
Yeah.
And God, it was clear to him. He knew what God felt about this, but he was so drawn by Jezebel. And instead of him being able to draw Jezebel back to his God, Jezebel drew him. So he did more to provoke the Lord of God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And so the Lord got tired. See, he will allow stuff to go on. From the time of Jeroboam, there was about four or five other kings that came, and they all did the same thing. They had the people worshiping idols. And then when Ahab came, I guess God said, all right, let me just put a stop to this. I have to jump in, and I have to remind them who I am, that I am God. I have to remind them. And so God sent Elijah to remind them. And that's when Elijah came and said to him, to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. It's not even going to be dew. It's not going
to
be dew. It's not going to be rain. And so we know what we're dealing with. God said He knows that they worship a God that they feel is the God of rain.
What's going on here?
So God came. He sent Elijah because God had to remind his people who he is. And see, sometimes, like just like on this morning, you know, God had to remind some people who he is in our lives. That when people started popping up with all the testimonies about God has healed my body and God has given me this and God has done this and God has done that, that is when God will come in a place to remind somebody that I am still God. Hallelujah. And so Elijah said, you know what? There ain't going to be no rain. Ain't going to be no dew for these years. But according to my word. So you're going to have to wait for my word.
Hello.
You're going to have to wait. And then God told him to go and hide. And Ahab searched all over for him. He searched high and low trying to find him. And can you imagine not having any water for 3 years?
See, cattle was dying. They were losing money. People were hungry. People were going crazy trying to figure out what they were going to do because their crops was dying. If everything dried up and Ahab is running around, he was sending people from one place, from one end of the earth to the next trying to find this Elijah because he was mad with Elijah. He was upset with Elijah. And the Bible says in chapter 18, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third day, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. He told him, okay, now go show yourself. But let me tell you what happened with Ahab. Look at verse 16 and 18. It says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? This is what Ahab said to Elijah. You're the one who troubles Israel. And listen to what Elijah said to him. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Now listen here. Sometimes, a lot of times, we will get mad at the prophet because the prophet is telling you the truth. We will get so upset with the prophet because the prophet feels, you know, he comes with a word from the Lord. And Ahab would always get mad at the prophet that would come with the word from the Lord. Ahab always wanted the false prophets around him. How many people want to hear what they want to hear? You don't want to hear the truth. You don't want nobody to come and give you the unadulterated truth. You want somebody to tickle your ear and tell you that everything is all right and everything, you know. And so this is what Ahab's problem was. He would put the false prophets around him. He had false prophets around him everywhere he went, and he let the false prophets speak into his life because he wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. And when God sent Elijah to tell him the truth, he didn't want to hear what Elijah had to say. And he said to Elijah, you're troubling Israel. He was so deep into his sin that he didn't even realize that it was him who was troubling Israel. He was causing this thing. And Ahab, he was so bent on the fact that Elijah was the problem. And Elijah had to let him know. He said, oh, no, it's not me, it's you. I need for you and your fathers to know that it's you, and it's because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed Baal. So then that's when the contest came. Elijah told them to bring all those false prophets together. Amen. He said, and he asked this question to the people. He said, and Elijah came in verse 21. He says, he came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions?
Yes, yes.
If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And many of us are halting between two opinions. And God is saying, listen, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if it be Baal, then you follow him. But God is, he wants to show you today that he is God. And you can make the decision who you want to choose. But I tell you one thing, you better choose ye this day. Hallelujah. To serve the living God. Hallelujah. And so it says, and the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves. But and they use the bullocks, you know, and I believe God used those bullocks because that's what they would make their idols out of, bulls. They would make their idols out of bulls, and they would be worshiping, you know, this Baal, God, you know, and that's you know, like we wear the cross around our necks. They probably was walking around with the bull around theirs because and we don't worship the cross, but they worship, you know, this Baal so much that they, you know, and so, but anyway, it says, let them, therefore, give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Verse 25 in 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods. But put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning, evening, even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure. He is asleep and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name.
Well.
And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the altar and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, now do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he slew them there. God is saying, I want to show you that I am God in your life. I need for you to understand who I am. I am God. And you've been wavering. You've been going back and forth with maybe this is God or that's God. Or maybe this is, you know, what I need to do here. And maybe that's, and instead of looking to God and looking to him for his direction in your life. And God is saying, no, I need for you to understand who I am. Verse 41 says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. I said before, the people have been waiting for 3 years for rain. And only the Lord and not the pagan gods had control over the rain. And they had to understand that. The people had to understand. They had to get to a place where they knew that he was God. And they had to get to a place in their hearts and in their minds that they understood that the rain really came from God. The blessings from God, from heaven, came from God and God alone. And many of them had been praying to this Baal God for rain. And now they find out that, no, this Baal God, he's not the true God. He's not the true and living God. But our God, the God of Israel, is the one true and the one and living God. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. I want somebody to understand that God is telling you that today you need to understand that when I say something, I mean it. And I'm not a man that I should lie. And if I told you that it's going to be rain, that there's going to be an abundance of rain, you look for it. I want you to look for it. I want you to understand that you can look for it. You know, like the little child who heard from their parent and they said they were going to come. And they believed them that they were going to come. Now, some of them come and some of them don't. But for the child believed that the parent said, I'm coming. If I said I'm coming, I'm going to be there. And they're going to get up every day and they're going to get to that door and they're going to look for him because they believe it. And God is saying, that's the way I want you to be as a little child. I want you to understand. I need for you to know that you can trust me just like that, because I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And I need for you to know that God is not a man that he should lie. And so God said, all I need for you to do is look for him. And the Bible says that he went and looked. And he looked and said, there is nothing. Sometimes you need to understand that there's going to be a time when you're going to look for something and it ain't going to be there. Just like that little child that when he gets to the door and he don't see mommy or daddy like they said they were going to be there. When they get to the door, they realize that daddy ain't there, but they go back and they lay down again. And they say, well, you know what? Maybe they'll come tomorrow. Because they believe it that they're coming. And I don't care how many years, I don't care how long it takes, you can't convince that child that mommy or daddy ain't coming. And God is saying, sometimes it may be nothing, that when you go and look for it, it may be nothing there. But you better understand that it's coming. Elijah said, I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear it. And Elijah, he heard it from the Lord that the rain was coming. Now he could hear from further off because you know, he was a man of God. He was a prophet and God was showing him things and letting him hear things that no other person was hearing. And Elijah heard that there was an abundance of rain. But then when the man came back, he said unto Elijah that there is nothing. And Elijah said, well, then go again. I want to let you know today that you better understand it. That if you don't see anything right now, you may be there. You may be there right now, but if you don't see anything right now, understand it, that God is not going to lie to you, that God knows what you're waiting for. He knows what he promised you. And he said, go and look again. Look again, look again, look again, look again. And I know what I promised you. I know, and you might not be able to see it right now. So he came to Elijah the second time and he said, it's nothing there, Elijah.
And Elijah said, go on back and look again. Some of us have to keep looking. Some of us have to keep looking because God is showing us that it's coming. He's saying your blessing is on the way. He said your blessing, the rain, you're gonna see the rain. You're gonna feel the rain again in your life. You're gonna feel the rain again. As many of us, we're so parched, we're so dry, we're in a dry place in our lives, and we can't wait to get the rain. We can't wait to feel the rain again. We can't wait to get a drink, hallelujah, from the living water. We can't wait. And we wait on God, and we're so dry. Folk around us look like they're just dying, and things that we've been praying for just keeps, you know, looking like it's just never going to happen for us. And we're in a place right now, God, that if you don't do it today, God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to another day, God. If you don't help me today, God. And God is saying to us, he said, no, you just look again. Look again, look again, look again. Elijah told that man, go 7 times.
Come on, somebody.
God's number. That's God's number. It's number of completion. See, when your time and your season is complete, when your season is over, and God is saying, folks, come on. You go. Do what I tell you to do. Do it, do it, do it. He said, look again. You didn't see anything, look again.
My God.
Look again. Because the prophet said, I heard a sound of the abundance of rain. The prophet has let us know that the rain is on its way. The blessing is on the way. It's on the way. You just need to understand. You just need to know that you got to keep looking. Keep on looking. Keep on looking. Keep on looking. And so, verse 44 says, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. I want to let somebody know that you may be there right now. You may be in that place where the heavens are dark. And the clouds are dark. And the wind is just blowing in your life. And God is saying, don't you get discouraged by what you see. Because sometimes what you see, you're waiting to see something so bad, what you see, you don't realize that what God is doing in what you see. And so your life, you're in this place where the clouds are black. You're in this place where the wind is blowing in your life. And you don't understand it. You've been looking. God said, look again. You look again. And you start seeing some stuff, but the stuff that you're seeing don't look right. It don't look right. God, I don't understand it, God. You told me to look again. You told me to keep looking, God. And I heard the prophet when he said, the rain is coming. My blessing is on the way. I heard him when he said it. And God is saying to you today, if you're there, he's saying to you today, don't be discouraged by what you see. Because dark clouds, they ain't always what you think they are. Dark clouds. Sometimes what you're going through right now is what's going to bring you your blessing. See, and that's what we got to understand is that the was raining so hard the windshield wipers just wouldn't work. It was just not happening. We couldn't see a thing. We couldn't see the cars in front of us. We couldn't see the cars behind us. And we were just worried because we were like, my God, we had to get off of this road because we stay on this road. Sometimes our lives are like that. We can't see. We can't see our way. All we can see is the storm. All we can see is the storm, but we pulled over a little. And then when we pulled over, we prayed and we asked God, God, just be with us, God. Get us through this, God. And when we got finished praying, we got back up at the wheel and started driving again because then all of a sudden, the rain just stopped. And we started driving a little more and the sun came out. I'm here to tell you, the sun is going to shine again in your life. You got to trust God that the sun is going to shine again in your life. So don't be discouraged by what you see. Don't be discouraged by what you see. Just remember what he said. I remember he said that there's an abundance of rain coming. Anybody see it? Anybody? Can anybody hear the rain? Do anybody believe that there's an abundance of rain coming? God has said your blessing is on the way. God has said your blessing is on the way. God has said your blessing. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, and there was a great rain. You got to remember what he said. See, many people get discouraged at this point. We get discouraged and we begin to turn back. We begin to get to a place where we either turn back or we stop. We won't move. We won't go any further. But God says, don't you get discouraged by what you see. The clouds may be dark. The winds may be blowing in your life right now. But you better know that those dark clouds and that wind is what's about to bring your blessing to you. He's bringing it right to your front door. Bringing it right to your front door. Glory to his name. Don't forget what he said. Many people got discouraged when Jesus hung on the cross. And while he was dying, the Bible says the sky was dark over the whole land until the ninth hour. The veil rent in two from top to bottom. The earthquake, rocks broke in half. And Jesus died. Many people got discouraged. They got discouraged. But I'm here to let you know they forgot. They forgot to remember what he said. What he said? What he say? He said, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. He said, give me 3 days and I'm going to rise again. So you can't get discouraged at what you see. You can't get discouraged because on the third day, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. And he's saying to you today, keep on looking. No matter how dark the day, don't get discouraged. Just don't forget what he said. He said on the third day, I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise again. It was many discouraged people out there because their Savior had died. And God is saying to you today, remember what I said. I said, your blessing is on the way. Give the Lord a hand, praise. Hallelujah.